The World This Week. This is Steve Young, CBS News, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The bitter winter weather abated somewhat this week as President Carter, clad in a cardigan, told the nation the energy crunch won't quickly go away. Buffalo was declared a disaster area. The unemployment rate went down. In Chicago, there was a major transit accident. And UN Secretary General Kurt Waldheim continued a Mideast mission he described as a last chance to obtain peace. President Carter, speaking from the White House this week, conducted the first of many planned fireside chats and, among other things, spoke of the weather and our lack of foresight.
The real problem, our failure to plan for the future or to take energy conservation seriously, started long before this winter, and it will take much longer to solve. I realize that many of you have not believed that we really have an energy problem, but this winter has made all of us realize that we have to act.
The night of the fireside chat, the president signed emergency legislation permitting the government to shift natural gas supplies from surplus areas to shortage areas. GOP National Chairman Bill Brock thought Mr. Carter hadn't done enough.
I am troubled by his absence of any comment on a permanent solution to the energy crisis. Again, the bill that he submitted to the Congress, which is now passed, is a very short-term spreading of the shortage. It does nothing to enhance conservation or to enhance production.
The chairman of the Federal Power Commission, Richard Dunham, admitted that the emergency natural gas law could not overcome the effect of increased gas consumption.
So the president said when sent his emergency bill to the Congress, the bill could not cure the very real general shortage of natural gas this year. For instance, as a result of this year's weather, we have lost as much as 0.5 trillion cubic feet, almost one-third of our general storage. We have lost it just as effectively as if a natural catastrophe had eliminated it.
Buffalo was brought to its knees this week by the bitter winter and monumental snows. The situation was so bad, New York Republican Senator Jacob Javits said President Carter had to do something without precedent, make disaster relief available to cope with the digout.
They will have their backs broken economically, and indeed they can't do it even if they're willing to break their backs, unless the president declares this a disaster area, and our job will be to get him to do it.
The president's son, Chip Carter, went to Buffalo to get a first-hand look, and the next day, Mr. Carter did declare Buffalo and nine New York State counties major disaster areas. Mayor Stanley Mikowski quickly phoned to thank the president.
You brought hope to this community where very little existed, and we're all extremely grateful.
On another front this week, the national unemployment rate dropped from 7.8 to 7.3% for the month of January. The figure doesn't reflect new layoffs this month because of natural gas shortages. The head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics, Julius Shiskin, a holdover from the last administration, ventured an explanation for the January drop during the last week Gerald Ford was in office.
Many unemployed workers might have dropped out of the labor force because they gave up their efforts to find jobs. However, this explanation is hard to reconcile with the continued increase in non-agricultural employment and the widespread character of the decline in unemployment. One possible explanation, and this is speculation, I have no hard evidence to support it, is that many job seekers discontinued their efforts to find employment because of the unusually cold weather.
Democratic Senator Hubert Humphrey told the Joint Economic Committee no one should be very comforted by the statistics.
We're getting accustomed. You know, when we get the unemployment down to 7%, we say, clap hands, here comes Charlie, things are better. Things are lousy. When we get the unemployment down to 4.5%, then we can start to say, well, things are looking better.
President Carter has outlined plans for an economic stimulus of more than $31 billion, including at least one proposal that troubles Federal Reserve Board Chairman Arthur Burns.
What concerns me most and where I have the largest doubt is with regard to the proposal to send a check of $50 to practically every living American, and Treasury doesn't have this money. Treasury has to go out and borrow it.
Testifying before the Senate Budget Committee, the chairman of the Council of Economic Advisers, Charles Schultz, was asked whether those $50 rebates would just wind up in bank accounts instead of aiding the economy.
Yes, it goes in the bank. But no, it doesn't stay there. A large proportion does come out and add to purchasing power, and in the meantime, the other elements of purchasing power are coming in. So it is a continuous program, not simply a one-shot quickie injection.
There was criticism from the president's own party, voiced by Senator Ernest Hollings, Democrat from South Carolina.
He's asking us for sacrifice. His team is up there hollering, we're going to mail everybody $50. Or he's saying on national TV, we're all going to have welfare reform, but by the way, the team's up there, I'm going to give everybody $50 and put them on welfare. Now, how can you go in two different directions?
And so went the national dialogue. Friday night, one Chicago elevated train struck another during the evening rush hour. Cars crashed to the ground, 11 persons died, and about 200 were injured.
I sat down in the seat, the car train started up, I got myself settled, and there was a horrid crash of metal, and then I felt the falling, and it fell and fell, and then there was a big thud when it hit the ground, and there was a lot of screaming, and help, help us, help us.
I saw a lot of people laying on the floor on the L, and it was just scary. It was dark, and everybody was saying, be quiet, don't move, because we were half on the track and half on the ground.
At first, I said, is it real? Is it really happening there? I'm looking at it. It looks like something you would stage in your home with your own trains, right? The train runs off the bridge.
It was the worst accident in the history of the Chicago Elevated Line. A federal investigation is underway, but before the results were in, the chairman of the Chicago Transit Authority said there was no indication of any system failure. Rather, he said the cause of the accident appeared to be human failure. In the Middle East, UN Secretary General Kurt Waldheim has been trying to work out some way for the Palestinians to be represented at a Geneva peace conference. In Damascus, Waldheim said he holds to his view that war is a possibility in the next 2 years. Doug Tunnell sums up Waldheim's trip so far.
Waldheim arrived in Damascus after meeting with Egyptian President Anwar Sadat in Cairo. Sadat is leading what the Arabs call their peace offensive, and as one Waldheim aide said, it was clear that the Egyptians were keen on Waldheim's six-nation fact-finding tour. But in Syria, there were more skeptical, more hard-line leaders to deal with. Waldheim's stay lasted only 36 hours, but almost every minute of that time, the Secretary General was in consultation. After his meeting with Syrian President Hafez al-Assad, he told reporters that he was impressed by Assad's willingness to make peace. But he issued a second warning that if Geneva doesn't get off the ground soon, the Middle East may still witness yet another war. The main obstacle to peace, he said, is the Palestinian issue. And Waldheim was eager to find out more about that, too. He met with PLO Chairman Yasser Arafat for over 3 hours. Under the UN resolution calling for a reconvened Geneva conference this year, Arafat's PLO is to participate. Israel has flatly refused to bend on that point, and as Waldheim said before flying off to Saudi Arabia today, it is too early to worry about solving the Middle East problems. It is simply time to find out more about what they are. Doug Tunnell, CBS News, Damascus.